Welcome back to the Michael Lofton Show here on Reason and Theology. Doing another show, I want to talk about Father Thomas Reese's comments about women's ordination and the Synod on Bishops. Anytime I see somebody talking about the magisterium, my ears perk up and I take interest in what they're saying. And here is a case where a priest is severely mistaken and in fact is misleading the flock of Christ with his position on the Synod of Bishops and women's ordination. I'm going to share my screen so you can see exactly what I'm referring to so that our cards are all on the table here. Father Thomas Reese tweets, the Synod, that is the upcoming Synod on Bishops, the Synod could change whether women can be ordained as deacons or priests. These women are hopeful. Again, a priest of the Catholic Church says the upcoming Synod of Bishops can change the question of women's ordination. And he specifies to the diaconate and to the priesthood. But is this true? Or is perhaps the priest bearing false witness and misleading the flock of Christ? Well, it certainly is a case of misleading the flock of Christ for two reasons, as I will substantiate momentarily. Number one, the Synod of Bishops is a consultative body. It can't change anything, not even if it wanted to. It can't do anything any more than I can change the teachings of the church because it is not endowed with the authority to teach as an organ of the magisterium. It is not a subject of the magisterium. I'm going to substantiate that in just a moment. Number two, the object in consideration here, the object of the magisterium in consideration is the question of women's ordination. And I want to especially focus on to the priesthood. And then the question is that something that is reformable in nature? Well, St. John Paul II says no. It's a big no. So if you follow the Catholic magisterium, which every priest should be doing, every Catholic priest should be following the Catholic magisterium, then already you should know this is irreformable in nature, given that the magisterium itself has said it's irreformable in nature. When the magisterium tells you that, you can rest assured this cannot and will not be reformed. Because if the church were to reform something that it itself has said is irreformable, then it has falsified its own claims and it now forfeits any authority to speak with the voice of Christ and to bind consciences. So the only things that can be reformed are non-definitive magisterial propositions, of which women's ordination to the priesthood is not one. And every priest should know this. Let's first start with the code of canon law, however, and let's consider the scope of authority of the Synod of Bishops. Let's go to canon 343. You know, while I'm writing my dissertation on the magisterium or on a topic related to the magisterium, in the first section, I discuss the subject of the magisterium. Who has the authority to teach? What are the organs of the magisterium? And so I have to address and have addressed in the dissertation the Synod of Bishops. And one of the principal places that you'll go to discern what does the church itself teach about the Synod of Bishops and its authority is the Code of Canon Law. Especially, you want to take a look at Canon 343 specifically, and it will show you what the Synod can and cannot do. Let me go ahead and share my screen. You should see it now. Let's take a look at Canon 343 in the Code of Canon Law under the section on the Synod of Bishops. 343. It is for the Synod of Bishops to discuss the questions for consideration and express its wishes, but not to resolve them. Pay attention to that. Not to resolve the questions or to issue decrees about them. The only caveat here is unless in certain cases the Roman pontiff has endowed it with deliberative power, in which case he ratifies the decisions of the synod, which has never happened to date. No pope since Pope Paul VI, who created the Synod of Bishops, has actually endowed it with this authority. But even if he did, it would still have to be ratified by the Pope, and thus it would actually fall under the papal magisterium, because the Synod of Bishops is not actually the full expression of the College of Bishops. So the point here is, according to Canon 343, the Synod of Bishops cannot, I repeat, it cannot teach authoritatively, let alone could it reverse previous magisterial teachings. Why? Because it has not been given that authority. It is merely a consultative body. They are there to offer advice to the Pope and nothing more. And the Pope can take it or leave it. It is a consultative body. It has no power. And yet, Father Rees would have us believe that it actually has the authority to teach and, moreover, to reverse actual teachings on this question, to reverse them. Because, yes, this does fall into the category of teaching, not merely discipline, but also teaching, as we will see momentarily. So what is ironic, however, is Father Thomas Rees, who is by no means a radical traditionalist, by no means is he a radical traditionalist, and yet he sounds exactly like one, because the radical traditionalists are saying the exact same thing. Oh, the Synod of Bishops is going to change this doctrine. It's going to change this dogma. It's going to change this. It's going to ordain women. It's going to... They're saying the exact same thing. They're just on the other end of the spectrum. They just don't agree with it. Whereas Thomas Rees, I believe, would agree with it and would think that's a good decision. But they're both two sides to the same coin that doesn't understand the basics of the magisterium. And so what's ironic here is, though Rees would critique the radical traditionalists, he actually has no basis to do so because he sounds exactly like them. He's saying exactly what they're saying. So there's no consistency here, ultimately. They're both dissenters. They're both dissenting from the magisterium, just in different ways. The righteous path, however, is to actually follow the magisterium, which, again, neither side are actually doing. Now, let's consider the question of women's ordination itself. We've already established the first claim that he made was false. He said the synod could change. Nope. Canon law, Canon 343, excludes that possibility. So we can scrub that from his tweet. He's wrong there. The synod could change whether women could be ordained as deacons or priests. First, I'm going to consider the question of women's ordination to the priesthood, and then we'll talk about to the diaconate. Well, anybody who is familiar with this question knows to go to Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, which is exactly what we are going to do now. If you go to this document written in 1994 by Saint Pope John Paul II, or rather I should say Pope Saint John Paul II, you will see a couple things here. I'm going to share it on my screen so you can see it now. This is an apostolic letter by John Paul II on women's ordination and reserving priestly ordination to men alone. It is obviously magisterial right here, very clearly. It is magisterial. And obviously you should also know that because it's an apostolic letter, right? Okay, Well, it's authoritative. We've established that. Now we're going to determine how authoritative it is. And what does it actually say? Well, if you look here, towards the end of the document, in paragraph 4, it says, although the teaching that priestly ordination is to be reserved to men alone has been preserved by the constant and universal tradition of the church. That's interesting language. You know why? Because that is definitive language. Think here about Tuas Libenter by Pope Pius IX. He also uses this descriptive term here, constant and universal tradition of the church, and firmly taught by the magisterium in its more recent documents. At the present time, and in some places, it is nonetheless considered still open to debate, or the church's judgment that women are not to be admitted to ordination is considered to have been merely disciplinary in force, to have merely a disciplinary force. This position is effectively what Thomas Rees is saying. He's going to have to say it's effectively disciplinary, or at least if it's authoritative as far as a teaching, it's reformable doctrine. He has to take one of those positions, because I guarantee Thomas Rees is not going to say that, yeah, the church is reversing an irreformable doctrine. I mean, I don't think he would be that conspicuous. So he's going to have to take one of those other positions. But here, John Paul II corrects both of those misunderstandings. He says, wherefore, in order that all doubt may be removed regarding a matter of great importance, a matter which pertains to the church's divine constitution itself, is a matter that pertains to the church's divine constitution merely disciplinary? Obviously not. The church's constitution, if you know anything about ecclesiology, pertains to doctrine, not merely discipline, right? So obviously what's in scope here is doctrinal, not merely disciplinary in nature. So already he has refuted that notion. Now we have to ask the question, well, is this authoritative doctrine that is somehow potentially reversible in nature, or is it irreformable in nature? Well, in virtue of my ministry of confirming the brethren. Now, that's interesting language, because that is the language of Vatican I. There's three criteria for an act of papal infallibility. That's one of them. He says, I declare that the church has no authority whatsoever to confer priestly ordination on women, and that this judgment is to be definitively held by all the church's faithful. Well, in this, a number of theologians have argued it, and I argue it myself, all three criteria for papal infallibility is present. So I personally hold that this is an act of papal infallibility. But it's okay if you disagree with me, because either way, it's a moot point, because it's infallible either way. And I'm going to show that to you here in just a second. But by the way, the language to be definitively held, that is language for a secondary object of infallibility. So already in the language he's using here to teach, that is language, if you look at the commentary on the Profession of Faith by Bertoni and Ratzinger, you'll see that is language for what is called a secondary object of infallibility, or what you'll see in the Profession of Faith in the second paragraph, a second paragraph teaching, a second tier teaching. Things that are not immediately revealed by God, but are necessary to preserve, either by logical or historical necessity, to preserve something that has been revealed by God, and therefore they're irreformable in nature. Right there. It's in the language. But you don't even have to find it just there or look at that technical language that's used. You can again see it where he talks about the constant and universal tradition of the church. So even if you don't believe this is an act of papal infallibility, I don't think you have a leg to stand on. But even if you don't, if you want to say, well, he doesn't say I define, he says I declare, which is arbitrary because Vatican I nowhere says that he actually has to say I define. The point, however, is if you want to, for some reason, still argue this is not an act of papal infallibility, doesn't matter because it already is authoritatively taught that it is irreformable in nature because it is part of the ordinary and universal magisterium that has been definitively put forward. definitively. Therefore, it is irreformable no matter how this thing shakes down. No matter how you want to say, well, I personally don't think this is ex cathedra, doesn't matter. It's authoritative doctrine, and he clearly confirms this as part of the ordinary and universal magisterium that is definitive in nature. So it's not even a non-definitive act of the ordinary and universal magisterium. It's a definitive act of the ordinary and universal magisterium. In other words, this is not a teaching that could ever be reformed. It can't be reformed by its very nature because it is part of sacred revelation by way of secondary object. That is, it's related to it. And number two, it is already something definitively put forward by the ordinary and universal magisterium. And I would just add on top of it, the cherry to the top, that's also ex cathedra. But again, either way, whichever position you land on, it's irreformable. So we've now established that both of the claims that Thomas Rees has proclaimed in his Twitter post or in his tweet, I don't know if we can call it a tweet anymore since it's called X now. I don't know what that is. But right now, we established the entire thing is false. Not only can the Synod not change anything because it's an advisory body, it's a consultative body, it has no authority to teach per canon law, but it also can't reverse this question because actually the magisterium says itself it's irreversible. So what are we doing here? Well, what we're doing is we're bearing false witness to Catholics publicly as a priest, using our own position of authority in the church, not that he has magisterial authority, he certainly doesn't as a priest, but you get what I mean. Priests tend to have a position of authority, at least seemingly so. And that is currently being used to put forward something that is entirely false. It's bearing false witness. I don't know what his motives are. I don't know if this is intentional or not. Don't know, don't care, doesn't matter. Because either way, it's misleading the faithful and it's bearing false witness. If his intentions are good, it just means he's incredibly ignorant and shouldn't be commenting on this to begin with. He should just get off social media. And I hope his bishop or his ordinary or superior addresses this. And if this is intentional and he's just deliberately misleading people, well, same thing. He shouldn't be on social media. And I hope his superior addresses this. Either way, people are being misled, and it's coming from a person who is in a position seemingly of authority. And that's destructive to the body of Christ. It's misleading the flock of Jesus Christ. That is not okay. That is unacceptable. I also want to point a couple other things out. Let's go to Canon 1379, point 3. Actually, no, it's not point 3. Actually, it is. Yeah. Sorry. 1379.3. Let me pull it up on my screen. This is something that Pope Francis just put into canon law not long ago. All right. So if we're going to talk about the papal magisterium reforming the church's position on women's ordination, not only is that not valid subject matter because it's irreformable in nature, but we're really suggesting that the same Pope who just put this into canon law is going to consider changing women's ordination. Let's read the canon together. Both a person who attempts to confer a sacred order on a woman and the woman who attempts to receive the sacred order incur an automatic excommunication reserved to the apostolic see. A cleric, moreover, may be punished by dismissal from the clerical state. So the same Pope Francis, who literally put into canon law that you're automatically excommunicated if you attempt to ordain a woman, you're seriously proposing that that Pope Francis is going to change this? Are you kidding me right now? Are you serious? That Pope Francis? I can't take that seriously. And I don't know how any priest could put that forward as a serious possibility. One is giving people a false hope. What Wood shouldn't be doing, actually, a priest should be helping those confused people who are pushing for women's ordination. He should compassionately help them, not by giving them false promises of something that can't change and something that is absurd, as I'm showing here. It's very clearly not going to change. The helpful thing to do would be to pastor these people and help them understand the Catholic position. Help them understand, why does the church have this position? And why is this not wrong of the church to have this position? A real pastor who really wants to shepherd confused and misguided people will help bring them along and say, well, I know you feel very strongly about this, but here's why the church believes this. And here's why you too should also agree with what the church is saying. Here's why we as Catholics believe this. That's what a real pastor would do. Someone who really wants to shepherd those misguided souls. But somebody who wants to tickle people's ears and tell them what they want to hear will do just that. Tickle people's ears, tell them what to hear, and give them false assurances. And that's not okay. And it certainly needs to be addressed. I also want to show you one other thing. I'm going to go to an article here by the Catholic Encyclopedia. This is the first one. So this is the one in the pre-conciliar era. Going to share my screen. And I want to briefly talk about women deaconesses. So, we established ordinatio sacerdotalis. Cannot, or the church cannot, and certainly will not, reverse the decision that has been made on this question because the faith itself will not allow for that. It's irreformable in nature. And that is in regards to women to the priesthood, which would obviously also include women to the episcopate. Because if a woman can't be ordained to the priesthood, she can't be ordained to the episcopate, which is a higher grade. But then the question is, can you have women's ordination to the diaconate? I'll tell you right now, I don't believe any for one bit for that there's really any chance that the Pope, after the Synod of Bishops, is going to grant women's ordination. I just don't see that. To the diaconate. I just don't see that. I don't see that at all. But then there's a question here. Could he? Well, Ordinatio Sacerdotalis is dealing with the presbyterate, so the priesthood and the episcopate. It does not specify women to the diaconate. Now, I'll tell you this. There's a very long history here. And there's a very lively debate on the question of women deaconesses. Because we could speak of women deaconesses in a way that appeals to the concept as non-sacramental in nature. And there are some that would argue that this is sacramental in nature. Well, we certainly see in sacred scripture the concept of deaconesses, but again, it raises the question, is this a sacramental role or is it a non-sacramental office, if you will, or function? There's a lively debate here. And it gets even more complicated because when you look at the canons, and you look at the history behind the ordination to the diaconate, the laying on of hands is obviously very prevalent in the sacramental order. But then the question is, okay, in instances where we see women ordained to the diaconate by the imposition of hands, Is that sacramental? If not, how do you distinguish that from the men who are ordained to the diaconate sacramentally by the imposition of hands? So there's a debate here, because the imposition of hands is normally how we would say this actually occurs. But women were also ordained to the diaconate as deaconesses through the imposition of hands. And anybody who has studied the canons and history is aware of that. Some will still make that distinction, however, and they'll say, but it's a non-sacramental imposition of hands. One may argue that. There is a lively debate here. And I'll certainly say it's not one that can be settled in one stream. You certainly have to go through a lot of data. But I will say this, something that people are not aware of. In the West, you have the concept of deaconesses. Whether they're sacramental or not is a different question at the moment. But whatever they were, you have them in the West as late as the 11th century. So that's into the second millennium. The Catholic Encyclopedia briefly speaks about this. It says, thus we read in Fortunatus that Saint Radegund was ordained deaconess by Saint Medard. So also the ninth Ordo Romanus mentions as forming part of the papal procession. So this is a Roman liturgy that describes a papal liturgy, and it describes women deaconesses. And this is as late as the 9th century. Further, the Anglo-Saxon Leofric Missal in the 11th century still retained a prayer to deaconesses, which appears in the form of Exaudi Domine, common to both deacons and deaconesses. So in other words, in the West, you still see the existence of women deaconesses. Whatever they are, sacramental or not, you have the concept going into the second millennium in the West. Now, what's interesting is in the East, you also have a pretty interesting history there. Some of the churches in the East still preserve to this day deaconesses. I think of the Armenian church. Whereas others, such as the Alexandrian church in Eastern Orthodoxy, have recently restored deaconesses into their church. So recently, several deaconesses were ordained. Now, there's a debate even in Eastern Orthodoxy on whether or not those women were sacramentally ordained or if it was just something else, installed as ministers of an office that's non-sacramental in nature. There's a debate even among them. but that being said, do I think Pope Francis is going to restore the Latin practice that goes into the second millennium of women deaconesses? I think that's incredibly unlikely. I would be very surprised if he does. And one would still have to address the question of the sacramentality of this, which has not been really sufficiently established to show that this was sacramental in nature, which I think he would need to do before he even makes that move. And so, or at the very least, rule out the fact that it was sacramental and show that it wasn't sacramental, and then make a decision for women deaconesses in a non-sacramental capacity. I just haven't seen that yet. So I doubt very seriously that he's going to go that route. Be that as it may, having gone down that rabbit trail, let me go back to my original point. And that was the claim that Father Reese made that somehow the Synod of Bishops has this authority to change the church's position on the question of women priests and deaconesses, and that it certainly can. Whereas I've shown, according to canon law, that is not what a Synod of Bishops can do, as it's merely an advisory body. And so I have to sincerely question Father Reese's capacity to comment on this question, because this is very basic stuff, to be frank. This is basic. This is ABCs. This is kindergarten stuff for theology. We're not even talking about, you know, the meat. We're still dealing with milk here. If you're an authority in the church, and I say that loosely, you should at the very least know the ABCs, the kindergarten part of Catholic theology. And that would be, what is a synod, right? What is a synod of bishops? That would be still in that category. So I'm just shocked that any priest could say such a thing. I kind of expect this from some YouTubers and people who are just on social media who aren't really trained in theology. I kind of accept, you know, the fact that they're just going to be there. They have a camera. They have a microphone. You can't stop them from expressing their opinion. They're going to throw it out there, even if it's unqualified, and they're going to say silly things. I kind of expect that from those kind of people. But somebody else who has gone through formal training, who is a priest in the church, who's actually a visible figure on social media, I don't expect them to make such elementary mistakes. So I have to sincerely question why one is even on social media when they're making such mistakes. I honestly think that Father Reese owes the Catholic faithful an apology. He should apologize to the Catholic faithful, take down that tweet, and then post a new tweet saying, I am so sorry for misleading you all. And here is what canon law says. And here is what Ordinatio Sacerdotale says on this subject. And if you have any questions and you're confused about the Catholic position, I'm willing to talk to you about it. But what we should be doing is following the magisterium, not dissenting from it. Because with all due respect to Father Reese, if you're going to critique the radical traditionalists who are dissenting against the magisterium, you have no leg to stand on when you're doing the exact same thing. Upon what basis are you going to critique them? You don't have one, because you're in the same category, a dissenter. So it's important to maybe answer the question, Father Reese, do you accept what Pope St. John Paul II taught here? Do you accept the Catholic position on women's ordination? It's important to be clear here. Do you accept that? And do you accept that the Synod actually has no authority to change anything according to canon law itself? I look forward to hearing a follow-up response from Father Reese. And for anybody else who is confused or has been confused by his tweet, I am so sorry that you were subject to that. I hope that this video has helped clarify and clear up some of those misunderstandings and that confusion that you might have. The Synod has no ability to change anything. It's a consultative body. If you were asked by Pope Francis to come visit him in the Vatican, and he's going to ask you a theology question, do you think that you have the ability to change theology by answering a theology question? Of course not. That's effectively what the Synod of Bishops is. The Pope is asking a group of people who aren't even all bishops to come and give him advice. And that's all it is. And he'll take it or leave it. But they don't have the authority to change anything. And even if they had magisterial authority, this particular subject is irreformable in nature. So it would not be reversed. It would not be changed. So again, I apologize if you were confused by Father Reese or anybody else that is on social media misleading you about the Synod of Bishops and what it can and cannot do. And again, I hope that this video has helped clarify some of those things. And if it has, I'd love to hear from you. Put that in the comment section. I want to hear if this video helped you. Please let me know. Because if it didn't, if nobody's benefiting from this, well, I'm wasting my time. I could do other things, right? But if you felt that this was helpful, let me know. Put it in the comment section. And of course, hit that like button and subscribe to this channel so that you help me reach more people. The more people subscribe, the more YouTube will share this with others. And so the next time that a priest comes on social media and begins to confuse people, my response videos will hopefully reach more people and help undo some of that confusion. So if you want to see that happen, you need to hit the subscribe button. Also, check me out at patreon.com/reasonandtheology if you want to support what I'm doing here at RNT. And I'll also put a GoFundMe link and a PayPal link there in the show notes if you want to support me that way. All right, that's going to do it. We'll see you later. God bless.
Are you confused about how Catholic teaching authority works? With encyclicals, papal bulls, councils, and many other things, it's easy to get confused on what is authoritative and what is not. Fortunately, at MaximusInstitute.com, I have prepared a course explaining the magisterium from A to Z. Visit the website and check out the course Understanding the Magisterium for more information.
Hey, everybody, just wanted to tell you about my new free ebook, Church Chaos: Biblical Insights for Confused Catholics. If you are a confused Catholic and you're thinking about leaving the Catholic Church, or you're thinking about converting to the church, but you see that there's a crisis in the church and you're just unsure, this is the book for you. Again, it is free. Just simply go to reasonandtheology.com. You'll see a pop-up that comes up on your screen. Just simply click on it and you'll put in your email and it will provide you the free PDF ebook right then and there. Please check it out if you're confused about the situation in the Catholic Church today. ReasonandTheology.com.
If you're looking to buy or sell a home, office, or any kind of property anywhere in the world, you're going to want to call Real Estate for Life, and they're going to connect you with a Catholic agent. Now, that agent will donate a portion of their commission upon sale, and Real Estate for Life will donate 75% of that gift to a pro-life organization at no cost to you. Call Real Estate for Life at 1-877-LIFE-US1 or text them 248-431-1440. If you care about the pro-life cause, call them now.
Hey, everybody, just wanted to tell you about my new free ebook, Church Chaos: Biblical Insights for Confused Catholics. If you are a confused Catholic and you're thinking about leaving the Catholic Church, or you're thinking about converting to the church, but you see that there's a crisis in the church and you're just unsure, this is the book for you. Again, it is free. Just simply go to reasonandtheology.com. You'll see a pop-up that comes up on your screen. Just simply click on it and you'll put in your email and it will provide you the free PDF ebook right then and there. Please check it out if you're confused about the situation in the Catholic Church today. ReasonandTheology.com. Hey, thanks for watching. Don't forget to hit the like button and the subscribe button. See you next time. God bless.